Well, hello, everybody. This is Patricia Corey welcoming you to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box of convention. And I'd like to start by apologizing for the little delay we had, but we're coming to you live from England, Rome, and California somewhere called Paradise. It took us a few minutes to set that up, so thank you for your patience. I would like to start this before I bring on my exalted guest, Karen Alexander. I would like to just remind you that Egypt is struggling valiantly. It's a struggle that we all feel in our hearts. It's a struggle for the future of humanity. So please continue to send your strong voice of faith, and I mean faith from the point of view in the people, and your wishes, your prayers, your meditation, that justice will be valiant, and the Egyptian people will not have struggled in vain. It is a tense situation, and at the same time, it is a glorious thing to watch people finally standing up to tyranny. So I would like to start the show with my heartfelt message to the Egyptians that we are with you, we are suffering with you, and we at the same time are feeling the glory of what you are working to achieve. In fact, I was supposed to be leaving for Egypt with my group tomorrow. So we decided against that because of the situation. But our hearts, my heart is there. All right. So here we have today someone I've been a long time that I've wanted to have her on. And she's been patient because when my computer address book crashed, I completely forgot what day Karen was coming. So here she is today, Karen Alexander. She and her husband, Steve, are truly pioneers in the crop circle research field. They've done so many great things. She holds conferences. We'll talk about that later. They are famous for their wonderful calendar of crop circles. You inevitably have run across their material, the videos and whatever. But this is your first-hand chance to hear from Karen, and we will... You know this is my favorite subject. In fact, I'll be again in the crop circle in July with a group. But this is the first time I've had the honor of speaking with Karen. So thank you, Karen, and welcome.
Hi, Patricia. Thank you very much for inviting me, and it's good to speak to you at long last.
Yes, it certainly is. I have so many things to discuss with you, but just before we get going, I would like to, I'm going to announce a couple of times during the show that Karen's website is www.temporarytemples.co.uk, but hold off to go there so that you don't get distracted because I want you not to miss a word. And later in the show, we'll open up the lines for call-in. So here we go. Okay, Karen, where do we start? How did you and Stephen start? How did you become involved in this incredible journey that we are both excited participants in?
Well, I mean, I suppose like most people, the crop circles are a spiritual journey on many levels, not just a research journey, they're also a spiritual journey. So I guess it started back when I was a child, way before I met Steve. When I was a child, I was fascinated by Egyptian hieroglyphs, from then on, that it just sparked an interest in symbolism in all its forms. So I was fascinated by that. I was then fascinated by imagery of the tarot and then by alchemical imagery. But my involvement with crop circles started in 1990, and I saw them on the TV in the UK. They were making headline news. There was a very, very famous crop circle that happened in Alton Barnes in 1990, which made the world's press. Everybody was talking about it. And there was just something about it. When I saw the pictures, I just thought, I know what this is. There's something familiar about this. And of course, crop circles are great symbols. So I was immediately, you know, interested in that. So, that's basically when my involvement started, and I joined a local group because I didn't live in the south of England as I do today. I actually lived in the Midlands near a big city called Sheffield, and I joined a local crop circle group up there, and became involved in that way, in going to visit circles that happened in that part of the country. And then I met Steve in 1993, and he had been involved with the crop circles for a lot longer than me. I think he first saw his first crop circle in 1981, near Winchester in Hampshire. And again, he'd kind of had an interest in the paranormal from being a young boy. And we just hit it off when we met, and we thought very similarly about the subject, and a romance, you know, blossomed from that. But so that's how I sort of came to be involved in it, and we met through the, you know, Steve and I met through the crop circles, and. And then we kind of, although people always see us together as a couple, and that we are, we also have our separate and individual interests, particular interests in the subject. And of course, Steve's primary role in the crop circles is photography, which he's been doing since.
I'd like to tell you something that you don't know, and that is the first time I ran into Stephen was in the Barge Inn. And it was sometime after, I think the year after I had had my incredible life-altering experience in the Julia Set crop circle at Stonehenge in 1996.
Right.
And he was showing a video he came into to the Barge, and as in the old days, for those of you who don't know, the Barge Inn was the crappie hangout. And
it was.
People would just walk in, and you just never knew who you were going to meet and what you were going to see. And Steve plucks on the video some footage that was talking about Men in Black. And
right.
What happened to me is that I had the veiled experience of the Men in Black from the Julia Set experience. I had no recall of that, even though I was in such a daze when I came out of that crop circle that a lot of it was very hazy. But he dropped whatever he said. I can't remember very much because my mother had to hold me up. But it brought the veil down, and I immediately remembered seeing Men in Black in the Julia Set crop circle. So Steve was very influential in my experience, even though we barely spoke that time.
Yeah. No, I mean, they were incredible days. And, you know, I mean, the mid-90s, were an incredible time for the crop circles. I mean,
especially Julia Set, wouldn't you agree?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Especially the Julia Set. That was
absolutely incredible. I mean, 1990 was the year that the circles really came to everybody's attention. And then, of course, there were the Doug and Dave story in 1991, which kind of killed a lot of interest for a lot of people, these two old guys who came forward with the story that they made a lot. But then 1994 saw a real renaissance in the crop circles. And then by the time we got to 1996, the most incredible things were happening, including the Julia Set at Stonehenge and the triple Julia Set at Windmill Hill that year. So things had just taken off. I mean, it was such a leap, and, you know, things were really starting to happen. So, yeah, they were magical times.
You said when you were first speaking that you had your first experience of the crop circles. You said to yourself, "I know what this is." What is it?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, because the whole of my journey has been about trying to find that out. The way I kind of explain it is like it's a million words on the end of your tongue that your mouth just can't form, and so you kind of know. But you feel it, you know, in your deepest self that you know what this is, but trying to articulate that is very, very difficult.
Well, and of course, that makes sense. I think from the point of view of a multidimensional experience, doesn't it?
It does. And you know, I mean, I think years and years and years later, I mean, I think what symbols are on that level anyway, are they're sort of like catalysts for transformation. And, if you look at the time that crop circles first started to appear, sort of in the late 80s and the early 90s, lots of things were changing in the world and changing in human consciousness. And we had things like the collapse of the Berlin Wall, which was happening at around that time, and that sort of resolved a great separation or duality that had gone on for a very long time. And other very strange things like the launch of the Hubble telescope, which then showed us pictures of the universe that we'd never seen before and just showed us how fantastic and mysterious and huge the universe was, you know, things that we hadn't seen before. So right at the time when crop circles were coming to a fore, there were lots of other things that were happening in human culture that was kind of a signal that there was some expansion in human consciousness going on, some sort of change or evolution. And I think, you know, that the circles have, you know, continued with that until this day. I think that's the path that we're on. And I think, you know, lots of people have talked about 2012 and, you know, the possibilities that that will bring for consciousness change. And again, I think that's all part of this ongoing kind of marker in time that we're living through right now. And that's very exciting.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned the Hubble, because Hubble really taught us as well how limited our vision from a scientific point of view and an astronomical point of view, how really limited our understanding was. And so that, from the point of view that the Hubble craft just blew it wide open for us, and in such a very short time we have had science reconfirm what the spiritualists have been talking about for forever and a day.
Absolutely.
It's quite an important part of our evolution. Very exciting. Yep.
It is. And, you know, in the crop circles, you know, are really, really keyed into all this. If you go back and look at the shapes that have occurred from those early beginning days to, you know, some of the shapes that we've seen in recent years, so much of the symbolism of the circles talks about a resolution of duality, about squaring a circle, about bringing the material and the spiritual together. All of those things are embodied within crop circle design and geometry, and some of the numbers that are encoded in them. You know, they kind of had a cumulative effect over the years. And for people who follow them, or even just people who sit down and look at pictures of them, look at the book, examine them carefully, you can see that there's this evolution that's gone on within the crop circle shapes themselves. And that is a parallel for what's going on in the human psyche at the moment.
Indeed it is. What do you, in your vast experience of the crop circle, do you have, now I know what you're going to say, I can't choose one, Patricia, and neither can I, because each time you think about which crop formation has touched you the most deeply, you backtrack and say, but then again, there was the Mill Hill formation. But do you have a particular, for me it was the Julia set, because it blew my life completely into another dimension.
Yes,
but,
of course.
Do you have a particular formation that you feel that you personally were most touched by, and why?
Okay. Well, actually, there are two, and I'll talk about one first. One was a very little-known formation which occurred back in 1993, a place called Charlie Knoll in Leicestershire, and it was a huge cruciform shape. And the reason that it's so special to me is because at that time, I was living in the Midlands of the UK, and I belonged to this small crop circle group. And a bunch of us got together and decided that we'd very much like to investigate the psychic side of crop circles and the possibility that people were somehow psychically connected to the appearance of the circles. And we got together and did a series of meditations. This group, there were seven of us. And when this formation appeared, it appeared on the seventh day of the seventh month, and it had seven major components in it. And it was just such a huge moment of synchronicity when we, you know, realized that the human mind, you know, was connected to the material world in such a way, that, you know, in an unfathomable way, whereas, you know, that this had come about, that it blew all our minds at the time. You know, we were absolutely, because, I mean, many of us, although we'd had kind of interests in, you know, various esoteric subjects and things, we, not to the extent where it was a major part of our lives, you know. So this was a real aha moment or breakthrough moment for many of us. And so that will always be very, very special.
And so don't you think that one of the primary messages of the crop circles is to help us recognize the quantum physics concept that we are absolutely all part of the creation of matter, the organization of matter, and our thoughts of primal.
Absolutely, I do. I think that's such an important part of, because I think, you know, again, one of the things that the circles talk about will show us in their geometry and design over and over again is this idea of squaring the circle. And of course, in ancient traditions, the circle represented the divine or heavenly realms, and the square represented material reality. So the bringing together, the squaring of the circle, is about bringing those realms together. But I think it's actually more than that. And in fact, this year there was a couple of formations that happened where I began to realize that this symbolism, this squaring of the circle, wasn't just about bringing spirit to matter. It was about the fact that actually spirit is imbued in matter at a most fundamental level. And maybe all there is spirit, and that matter is just a manifestation of it. So, you know, as I say, these formations are truly amazing when you see them, when you look at them, when you look at their geometry, when you look at their symbolism and see how they've evolved. The kind of stuff that's encoded in them is truly amazing.
And what was your second most favorite? You said there were two.
Yeah, and my second most favorite actually was one that happened just this past year in 2010, which was a formation that happened at Clay Hill. And this was a three-dimensional, like a three-dimensional cross cut out of a cube. Yeah. And the reason why it's one of my favorites is because it was the first formation ever to show us a glimpse of the fourth dimension. Because crop circles have evolved over from their very, very beginnings from two-dimensional flat discs in a field through three-dimensional cubes and other shapes. And then this year, for the first time, we saw our first glimpse of a fourth dimension. And this formation in particular, because crop circles traditionally have always been, the shapes have always been made from a combination of standing or flattened crop. Even the three-dimensional images have used those. It's like black and white on a page. Right. But for the first time this year, this formation showed a third way of laying the crop, where almost it was like a 50-50 of being laid and standing. And to me, this was symbolic of us moving into another dimension. And then as the season went on this year, that we actually had a tesseract, which is a fourth-dimensional cube, appear at a place called Fosbury. So that Clay Hill formation is absolutely pivotal in the development of the geometry and symbolism of the crop circles. And I had been waiting for the fourth dimension to appear for a couple of years. I thought that it would. In fact, back in 2008, I gave a talk showing some of the formations that had happened that year. And there was one of them in particular that was very reminiscent of some artwork by an artist called Anthony Robbins, who... and he works with fourth dimensional imagery in his artwork. And this looked very similar to that. And I wondered at that point whether that was just the first tiniest glimpse of that. And then to see it.
Let me just check here. I had a group in last year, and we felt nothing in that. As beautiful as it was.
Yeah.
As breathtaking as it was. I mean, I could not wait to get into that formation. But it is one of few crop circle formations where I picked up nothing energetically or psychically. Isn't it amazing how we all have such different experiences in the form? That's one of the magnificent things about it, isn't it?
It is. It truly is. I actually think there is partially a reason for that. And again, it goes back to the whole idea of what is a crop circle fundamentally. And again, this was something I did a lot of work on in the early 1990s, because essentially, crop circles are shapes. And so one of the most fundamental questions you have to ask yourself if you want to understand the phenomenon is, what is shape? What is it? Who decides what is a circle? Who decides what's a square? Where did all those ideas come from? And where is there, you know, where is the foundation or the basis for that? And actually, the foundation and basis for it comes from vibration, from sound or inaudible sound, but from vibration. Vibration is the fundamental building block of all form. It's the thing that organizes all matter in the known universe. And I did some research looking back at how science first discovered this, and looking at the way in which there was a scientist back in the 1800s who first discovered this relationship, and he made these like brass plates, and he sprinkled sand on these brass plates, and then he took a bow from a violin and he struck the bow down the side of the plate, and as this caused a vibration or a musical note to sound, the sand on the top of the plate immediately organized itself into a geometric shape. Now this is we know this in modern times now as the modern science of cymatics, but that was really the first time that that had been sort of scientifically proven, if you like. And crop circles work on a very, very similar level. These are magnificent geometric, ordered geometric shapes in the landscape. So they create subtle vibrations because, of course, we can't hear all sound or vibration. We can only hear a narrow band of it, but it is there nevertheless. And, of course, that's where the idea of geometry as frozen music comes from. That's where the term comes from, because that's exactly what it is. So for some people, when they walk inside a circle, the shape is going to resonate with them. It's going to make them feel fantastic and sound. But for some people, they'll go in and they'll feel dissonance with the shape. That's happened to me several times where I've gone in and I've felt really uncomfortable. And I didn't sort of jump to the conclusion that it was because there was some kind of negative energy going on. It just seemed to me there was a dissonance between my personal vibration, because we all have one, and the vibration of the formation in which I was stood. And of course, for some, you will be, there'll be a neutral where you won't feel anything at all. So
the whole group got this, had this experience. And it was,
which is very interesting,
But of course, it has, the group itself has a vibration, so it all is in harmony with what you're saying. I would just like to interject that Karen was speaking about cymatics, and if you don't know about cymatics, you'll want to look up Hans Jenny, who was the creator of this field of study. There's a wonderful book out, which is kind of a rare book to get your hands on, called Cymatics, that describes in great detail all the tests and amazing work he did running vibration through every sort of material, sand, powders, oils, et cetera. Yeah, really fabulous book. I have that in my very favorite book collection shelf.
If you hunt around on the internet as well, there is actually an amazing DVD that you can get hold of, and that is truly amazing. I think it's called Cymatics. You can Google it. You can find it. But it shows.
I'm saying here that we are really kindred souls, Karen, because you've touched on Egyptology, on the tarot, which I think is an amazing tool and esoteric. I don't care about fortune telling, but from the point of view of understanding symbolism, number, and vibration, color, the tarot is truly the esoteric book of mastery.
It is. It's an amazing, amazing subject, as is alchemy, which I think as well is so connected to what's going on with the crop circles, because alchemy is the science of transformation. So, you know, and there's been a lot of alchemical symbolism in the crop circles as well. So, you know, I think all these things are connected, you know, and that, you know, there is a kind of convergence of all these ideas coming together. And some people call this the great shift or whatever it is that, you know, you want to call it. But I think there is so much stuff going on that is connected on this level. It's about the raising of human vibration and human consciousness. So, and the crop circles are absolutely part of that.
I think it's also about raising the consciousness, the vibration of the planet.
Yes, absolutely.
This Earth, a mother of ours, really needs to know that the tipping point is of human consciousness is going to flip over to the light, so that we can rebirth her and nurture her back into harmony.
Yes, and I mean, again, that's another thing that's often talked about in the crop circle subject, because I don't think crop circles are just for human beings. I think there is an element of them that is incredibly healing to the landscape. So,
and
you know,
animals,
again,
imagine too.
Yeah, I mean, so when you think about these, the subtle vibrations created by these very ordered shapes, these very sort of magical shapes in the landscape, that's got to have some effect, some subtle effect down the line. So, you know, I think there is, you know, crop circles work on lots and lots of different levels. They're very multidimensional. And so the idea that, they put something positive into the earth and the landscape, I think is, you know, definitely a part of what's happening.
Alrighty, I just want to interject for a moment that we are speaking with Karen Alexander, who is truly an expert in the crop circle phenomenon. Her website is www.temporarytemple.co.uk, and we still have a half an hour, so if you've just tuned in, please grab your friends and have them come in and listen to what Karen brings forward from the crop circle field of experience. You're also this is new, your conference in Devizes, isn't it? A couple of years.
Well, it's actually a bit longer. I mean, it always seems like it's really new. It's certainly the newest conference, but actually the one this summer will be our 6th year. So it's actually been going a while. But before that, I was actually part of organizing the Glastonbury Crop Circle Symposium. So been doing this a long time now.
Karen, how is it we never met up? I was the keynote speaker last year in the symposium in Glastonbury.
Well, I guess that's probably because since I've been doing my own conference, I haven't been back to visit the symposium. So that's probably why. But I'm sure we will at some point meet up.
We will meet up this summer for sure. I'll be there. You'll be there. It's just kismet. So let's talk about, on your site, you've got some very interesting footage of the Milk Hill Formation, where you've actually captured this, not to be confused with the video that's gone out around even on Discovery Channel of that's been called a hoax and debated over and over again, where you see the spheres and then the formation just comes up. That's another piece of footage. I'm talking
it
about
is,
on
yeah.
the site. You've got this really quite a lot of, I don't know how many minutes it is, but you follow this little orb of light and
yes.
it moves on the field not far from a crop circle formation. And at some point, I guess it's Steve saying, it's a bird. And
the footage was taken back in 1990, which is a long time ago now. And I didn't even know Steve at the time that he took this film. But it is fascinating because it's probably the first ever piece of video footage that shows one of these very strange balls of light in association with a crop circle. And as you say, the footage shows this very strange ball of light that kind of glints and flashes, and it moves along the top of the crop and it dips down into the crop. And then all of a sudden it kind of takes off. And what makes the footage so fascinating is that Steve wasn't the only person that saw it that day, because if you watch the footage, this ball of light flies off into the distance and it flies over a tractor driver who is tilling the soil in the background. And this guy actually saw this light fly over the top of him, and it stopped his tractor. It cut out, and he couldn't understand why that had happened. But eventually the tractor started up again, and the ball of light flew off into the distance and up into the air. And he didn't know that Steve was way over the way, sort of filming this from the top of a hill. And when Steve made the footage public, a researcher at the time tracked this guy down, and he said, "Yeah, absolutely, I saw it." And he'd gone in and told all his mates in the pub, you know, that he'd seen this thing, and of course they all took the Mickey out of him, you know. But then he was able to watch the footage back for himself and actually see that, you know, he really did see it that day. So it's a fascinating, you know, piece of historical footage, really. I mean, and of course, since then, these things have been seen many, many times since. And I've seen some amazing pieces of footage over the years, you know. And you can, I mean, if you listen, if you go on the website and watch the footage, you'll hear that, you know, Steve is really perplexed. He doesn't know what it is. And, you know, and at the time, he absolutely didn't, know what it was. He was, really confused by it. But as I say, since then, these lights have been seen a lot in conjunction with the crop circles. And it is part of the kind of mystery of the subject, if you like, that nobody really knows what they are.
What is the strangest account you've heard from people who have had experiences with plasma balls or light balls in the crop formation?
I've heard a couple of stories where people have actually said that they encountered them in the first person in a circle at night. And, I mean, that must have been a truly amazing experience, to actually come across one of these things in person. But they really are strange, these lights. One of the best pieces of footage I ever saw was taken by a Dutch couple. I think it was back in 1994. And they're at a place not too far away, sort of from the epicenter of the crop circles, and they were filming a circle, and this circle was in a field, and the field it was a hill, it kind of sloped upwards, so they set their camera on a tripod at the bottom of the field, so the camera was completely static, and they were just sort of filming the circle. They'd kind of got it framed in the viewfinder. And it wasn't until they were watching the footage back that they actually saw this light. And when you see it, it moves so strangely, so quickly, so strangely. And it kind of flared up and it was so bright. I mean, like burning magnesium, it was so very bright. And what I liked about the footage was it showed the strange movement of these lights. Because the camera was static on the tripod, all the movement that was going on was the movement of this light, and it was very, very odd. I mean, they have very strange properties as well. I mean, what the various different footages show, if you like, is that the closer these objects come to the camera, the smaller they get, and the further these objects get away from the camera, the larger they look, which is completely the opposite to how it should be. Because in our sort of Newtonian reality, as things get nearer to us, they should appear larger, and as they get further from us, they should appear smaller. But these things kind of work in the opposite way to that, which really makes me wonder whether there is some sort of weird dimensional thing going on here, whether they are, they move in and out of our reality rather than our objects that are firmly fixed here, if you like. I think there's something very odd about them.
Well, I think that we kind of have to agree that if you do believe that crop circles are a non-human phenomenon, and we can get into that in a minute, mm-hmm. then by nature of that belief, it kind of is a foregone conclusion that it's a multi-dimensional experience. So
yes,
anything can happen.
Yes, it can. And the other question as well, which always nags at me and which, I don't have an answer to is what is the connection between these lights and the circles? Because, apart from the Oliver's Castle footage, which you talked about, which, I have to say I'm not a believer in, that it is an open question as to what is the relationship. Are they something completely separate to the crop circles but are somehow attracted to them? Or are they part and parcel of what's going on? And there isn't a firm and fast answer to that question. So, I'm still kind of mulling that one over in my mind, and I don't think there's any evidence one way or another to suggest, to describe, what, if any, relationship there is between the two, apart from the fact that there's clearly some kind of attraction there.
And let's talk about the phenomenon of craft. Because there seem to be two kind of school camps, one that directly relates the crop circles to UFO, ET craft activity, and the other, which I think you and I are more part of, which understand it more as a linking of consciousness between dimensions. Do you have any firsthand information or experience of craft, UFO craft,
I've never seen what I would call a structured UFO, a structured craft. I've never had an experience with that. I have seen strange balls of light, though. The most memorable one, I think, was when Steve and I were driving. We were coming home from a conference, and we were driving through Avebury, and as we were coming right the way through the village, we saw this bright ball of light in the sky. It wasn't a big ball of light. This is quite small, like the ones that you often see associated with the circles. And we were watching it as we drove the car, and Steve pulled the car into Green Street in Avebury with the idea that he was going to get his camera out and take a picture. And as we got out the car and he was diving in the boot for the camera, this object turned completely black and shot off in the direction of Silbury Hill. And I'd never seen anything like that before. I mean, it was very strange. And, you know, and again, normally these lights, when you see them, are very bright and shiny and white. And this sort of just turned black like the flick of a switch and shot off. I've never seen anything move that quickly. And, you know, it certainly wasn't.
How did you feel emotionally when you saw it turn?
I just felt shocked, actually, is what I felt. I felt shocked and amazed. And I didn't kind of feel negative or I didn't even actually feel particularly excited, I don't think. I was just shocked and amazed to see that it was so, you know, it's kind of like seeing something that really shouldn't be there, you know. It's like the big finger of God coming. It's kind of, that really shouldn't be here. That is totally out of place, and just being very shocked by seeing it. So it wasn't, it was kind of emotionally neutral, I think.
I think that this is something important to discuss, and that is that we are in a time now, and I certainly teach this in my workshops, where we need to get ready to understand that we are going to see a lot of things that, quote, shouldn't be there, unquote. As the veils come down and the merging of realities becomes ever more present in our world, in our lives, we're going to have to get used to seeing things that are off the wall. And this is why I'm calling people to extreme grounding, extreme discernment, so that they don't get blown away when these things happen. Because let's face it, if you're out there and you're not grounded already, these phenomena are going to blow you away when they start to occur with more frequency. I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I look at it from a slightly different perspective. I mean, to me, what is changing is human consciousness. And as human consciousness changes, so does our perception of the world. And perhaps as our perception of the world changes, we begin to see more things that we couldn't see before. So, you know, these things are there, they're happening all around us. I mean, you listen to tales from the shamans and so on, and they will tell you that there are parallel realities out there of which we are, you know, we are totally unaware, and that as it is now, you know, as things stand at present, you know, human beings only experience a very narrow band of reality. And I think that's very true. And I think as human consciousness changes and widens and expands, we'll see more of what's already going on. It's just that we've not been able to see it before.
Very exciting to be alive, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is, yes.
All right, everybody. I'm talking to Karen Alexander. We're talking about the crop circles. Her website is temporarytemple.co.uk, where you can find some amazing information. And, of course, she's got some great videos there, DVDs, and the famous calendar, the crop circle calendar, which was born with Steve Alexander. And I hope I'm not making a mistake with that. But at any rate, let's open up the lines if you'd like to ask Karen any questions. The number, of course, is 888-815-9756. And while we're waiting for you to call in, I want to remind you that my group this year is full, but I do have the two-day workshop in Glastonbury for DNA activation. So if you want to come in on that, there's still space to do that. And Karen is doing a two-day conference July 30th and 31st in Devizes.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and that is in the middle of the crop circle. Let's say the true apex, it seems, is in that area. So you can find out about that conference, too. We've got two conferences going on. One is the Glastonbury Symposium every year, and the one in Devizes. So be sure to check on Karen's site, temporarytemples.co.uk. I want to tell you a little quick story. Last year with my group, we had a pretty amazing phenomenon in the, oh my goodness, I can't think of the location of the formation. It was the star that was in the field with the small sanctuary in it.
Yep, Chisbury.
Thank you, Chisbury Hill. One of the people that was in my group and I were off to in one of the corners of the star, and the group was off exploring. And we looked at each other, and we both saw these bubbles of light. We called them bubbles of light.
Yeah.
They were plasma balls. I really wasn't sure if I was having a psychic vision or if they were really there. And after when she and I talked about it, she wasn't really sure either. But what happened was we started to get a fit of hysterical laughter. And it got so completely out of control that we couldn't stop. And it was annoying to the rest of the group. I imagine it was annoying to the rest of the group because we were ridiculous. So the next day, we laughed and laughed until finally we had to be dragged away. And the next day after we went to some other formations, I suggested that we go back there and explore it again because I had never, ever had anything like that happen to me in a formation. We did. We went back. And this time, all of us sat in that point, and I led a meditation, and many of us got this again. It was fits of choking, hysterical, unexplainable, primordial laughter to the point that we couldn't be taken away. I mean, they would have had to drag me out with a tractor. And only when we realized that night was falling, we could not stop laughing. We finally begrudgingly started to leave. And it was the minute we got outside the field, the laughter stopped simultaneously for all of us. We laughed all the way out, all the way down the tractor line, all the way out until we hit the street. It was hysterical laughter. The reason why I'm retelling this story is because we thought, I'm sure there were some people thinking, what's sacrilege? These fools are sitting there laughing in a crop circle. But it came that I ran into other people that had experienced this as well.
I've never had an experience like that. I'll tell you about one of mine in a minute. But, I mean, I think things like that are fascinating. I mean, the formation at Chisbury, it was a nice formation. It was a beautiful pentagram. Five-pointed star, which is, classically associated with Western mysteries and so on, and carries some amazing geometry in it. But I think experiences like that are fascinating, and especially when other people have had it too. I don't have an answer to it. I mean, you know, I maybe we will one day. Maybe we'll understand exactly what the interaction is between people and these amazing shapes. But I think stories like that are always worth retelling because, when you find yourself behaving in a way that isn't, it is not normal for you, and it is location specific, and it's happened more than once, which it did in your case. I just think these things ought to be logged down and because maybe there is a reason for it and we don't understand it at the moment, but eventually maybe we will. So I think things like that are fascinating.
Well, maybe I'll write it up and send it to you so that we can log it, because it was a group experience. We were sick. We laughed so hard. We were out of control. We could not. I can say that as a guide and a spiritual teacher, this is not something that I would encourage in a crop circle. I mean, I'm bringing people in there to honor what's there, to honor other people there, and to go deep as they can. So a fit of hysterics for literally 3 hours is very bizarre.
It is bizarre. And as I say, it's not how, you know, people normally behave. So it is interesting, you know, from a psychological and perhaps even physiological point of view. I've had people, you know, I've heard all kinds of stories of reactions, people's reactions to crop circles. I've heard people say that they've walked up the tractor lines and just been physically unable to walk inside a circle. They've just felt just psychologically unable to do it. And again, I think this is fascinating because it's not normally how human beings are. Normally human beings are very curious. And we like to go and explore and so on and so forth. So, you know, that's interesting.
I've had both experiences of being pulled as if something was pulling my collar in, yeah, and being held to the point that I told my group, I'm not going in here with you. And that to me is completely bizarre. I can't imagine what would compel me not to want to explore. I've been going to crop circles since 1996. So I've experienced those both feelings, which is very interesting.
It is.
The most exciting thing to convey to people in these last 2 minutes that we've got is that, as I've been telling you over and over again, I do believe this is one of the most important things that's happening on this planet. And very few people, more people than before, but still very, very few people take themselves to this experience. Now, crop circles are not only happening in England, but we all know that that is the, let's say, the apex of all the events that seem to happen. The timing, again, is the summer. Some people say, Patricia, will you take me this November to the crop formation? And of course, you need to know that there's no crop in November. So the period of time that you're interested in is occasionally late April, May, June. July is when things really explode, and it winds down in the beginning of August. So, unfortunately, we're out of time, Karen. But if you're interested, and you should be, if you're listening to Beyond the Matrix, I know you're interested in multidimensional reality. So, for goodness sakes, be sure to get in touch with Karen on temporarytemple.co.uk. .co.uk.
That's right, yes.
Give yourself to the experience. Come on, guys. It's only life. Get yourself to the magic in this time of transformation. Don't bow down to fear and lack. Get yourself to the experience that is happening in the fields of England. It is awesome. I hope to run into you in July, and I hope to meet Karen then too. And give yourself this amazing time of discovery. Karen, we are out of time. I want to really thank you for coming on the show. It's long overdue, and I know that this summer, well, I anticipate, I won't say expect, that this summer, 1 year before the great transitional time of 2012, will hold some very interesting surprises for us all.
Well, I hope so. I hope it's going to be a fascinating year, and I look forward to meeting you.
Me too. All right, everybody. That's it. Thank you, Karen. My love to Steve as well.
And I will tell him.
Thank you for that. Remember, again, Egypt, call. Please send your prayers. Let's see the people of Egypt be valiant and victorious and trigger the understanding around this world that we do not have to bow down to tyranny. Big moment on planet Earth, and we all need to be tuned in energetically. And with that, I have to say goodbye. Wow, did this hour fly? Woo! It's that multidimensional concept that gets you every time. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond the Matrix. Next week, I've got Nick Redfern, the NASA conspiracies. He was supposed to be with us last week, and he had an emergency, so he's coming back. I'm also going to try to get William Henry to come on and talk about his firsthand experience in Egypt. I haven't been able to reach him yet, but I'm sure he has an interesting story for us. And so keep posted. Tell your friends. We need your support to keep this radio station and the show going. And I mean support energetically. So tune in and be with me beyond the matrix. Thank you. This is Patricia Corey saying nanu, nanu. Talk to you next week.